Thank you very much, ma'am. We want to look at OPVs and hybrids for the rainforest agroecology of southwestern Nigeria. And that's my name and contact. Other contributors, three from my university and three others from RITA. One of the people from RITA is right here with me, and he's our coordinator for the early and extra early program for the whole of Western Central Africa. The peculiarities of the cropping seasons of the rainforest agroecology of southwestern Nigeria include two major things: incidence of abiotic and biotic constraints, and the impact of the climate change. We are already feeling it very seriously. And I'll show you two things, perhaps to substantiate that point. This is our rainfall. We've had this for many years. This average, this is the rainfall I've been doing at my university. We started data collection in 1967. And over the years, that is what the rain looks like. And then we look at what we call drought probability. It's like this. The important point here is rain used to fall much earlier than this time, so we could plant as from about March. First week in March, we could plant maize. But with time, it has changed, and now it is about mid-April, and we've got to be careful that the crop, the late season crop, which is planted about here, this is the first season between here and here, and this is the late season, and we better plant the variety that will be ready for, we will have completed flowering about this time. Otherwise, the terminal drought will make it unproductive. I have a second graph here that shows you the decrease in rainfall. This is the total annual rainfall for March plus April plus May. That is the trend. There's a decrease. And that is what we are facing. So, to summarize that, these are the things that the climate change is giving us already. This recurrent drought, they have been noticing that since 1950s. I was just a kid in 1950. So it's been on since I was born, or earlier. And then consistent decrease in total rainfall, as I said it, delayed onset and early recession of the rains. There is reduced duration of the cropping season, false start of the rainy season, increased drought probability during the cropping season, and then the maximum annual temperature seems to be on the increase as well. So, since maize is our main crop, it is really gaining ground in the whole of West Africa now. We see it as our Green Revolution crop. The varieties to grow must be drought escaping or drought tolerant. And of course, the low soil nitrogen also becomes an important point. We won't talk about this today. We'll concentrate on this. We have four maturity groups for the rainforest agroclimatological zone: the extra early, the early, the intermediate, and the late maturing varieties. Usually, it is the late, the intermediate, and late that produce higher yield than the early and the extra early. But if you plant this in the late season, those varieties may not complete their cycle because of terminal drought. So we have concentrated on working on the early and extra early over the recent years in that zone. a joint project by CIMIT and IITA has done a lot to achieve success in this line. So we wanted to evaluate the performance of the OPVs for the four groups, and I'm being specific just for the rainforest agroclimatological zone, not the whole country. We were interested in identifying the varieties for each and across seasons, and then whether there are some specific agronomic traits for purposes of yield improvement in future. This study involved 350 varieties in two groups, three OPV groups and seven hybrid groups were evaluated in this study, and that's it. The OPV groups has one intermediate late, one early and one extra early containing this number of entries. And for the hybrid group groups, seven of them, the intermediate late, three groups, top cross and three-way cross, two of them, and they're here, giving us a total of 33 here, 104 here, and then for the early, white and yellow, two of them, 40 for white, 30 for yellow, 70 here, and for the extra early, it's a total of 350. That was a lot of work that we did that year. The materials were planted in the field, two row plots we used, and three replications, incomplete block design was used for each trial. Let's look at the results. For the early season, the intermediate late was higher yielding than both of them, and the extra early and the early. In the late season, it was a reverse. The extra early and the early were not significantly different, but they were both higher yielding than the intermediate late. That's a good point. We are happy with that. For the hybrid group, that other graph table was for OPVs. For the hybrid group, the intermediate late group had three-way drought tolerant, strider resistant, and then top cross. Those were the three groups that made that hybrid class. They were not different in the early season. But in the late season, the three-way DT and the top cross has yielded the striga materials. Of course, striga resistant materials are not planted, they were not developed for the rainforest ecology because there's no striga in that place. So these are more adapted to the savanna in the northern parts of the country. When we looked at the early and extra early, the early white and the extra early white were consistently higher yielding than the yellow in each case in the early season. For the late season, the early white was still higher yielding than the extra early yellow, but there was no difference between extra early white and early yellow. That's for the late season. We looked at the relationship of some traits. Consistently, we have found that plant aspect, ear aspect, have negative relationship with grain yield. And this study confirmed that as well. Second, consistently, we have found that ear number has positive relationship with grain yield. Similarly, plant height, and in some cases, ear height, positive. And we have to be careful, therefore, so that we don't necessarily make our plants too tall for fear of lodging. And also, we consistently had negative relationship with the flowering traits. And so this study confirmed that for the late and intermediate materials. And for the early materials, similar trends were observed. And the same thing for the extra early. The trends were similar. Plant aspect, air aspect negative, air number positive, and then some cases plants above. Flowering was not significantly correlated with yield in this study. So we can summarize. In the early season, intermediate late OPVs outyielded the early and extra early by about 42% and 48%. That's grain yield. In the late season, however, the early outyielded by about intermediate late by about 25% and the extra early by about 18%. Alright. For hybrid groups, the three-way DT and top cross hybrids performed equally but were both significantly higher yielding than the Striga resistant three-way hybrids, but just by about 10%, although statistically that was significant. And similarly, the early and extra early white outyielded their yellow counterparts by nearly 50% in each case. That's a lot. From this study, we were able to identify two three-way hybrids, and they are here, giving us about 6 tons, and two single cross hybrids, giving us also about 6 tons. The important point is that these were both from the early and the extra early group, and that makes us happy about it. And for maturity groups, for all maturity groups, plant and year aspects had a negative correlation, and number of years per unit land area, positive correlation with yield. So for our ecology, we are still thinking that we should retain intermediate and late maturing varieties for the early season, while we concentrate on the early and extra early for the late season. Thank you very much. Right, thank you, Greg. You did a lot of work in West Africa, so you should be able to answer that question more than I can. But anyway, I had a presentation a while ago in another session where I showed that what you presented to us yesterday comes to play here. The G by E by M is very important. And I told them, now, you wrote your paper without my knowledge. I wrote my own without your knowledge. So both of us, along with my friend Bafo, we've been working in West Africa now for nearly 40 years. He was with us for a long time. The management is a problem. And we really need to look into that now. And how we're going to do it, I don't know. We are looking at yield gaps. We're trying to see what is causing yield gaps. You are trying to lead us into that. But we didn't arrive at anything yet to solve the problem. I'm not sure also whether it is because of the season, the cloud cover. I had some data of planting studies where we planted maize, and the more you delay planting, the lower the yield. And farmers delay their planting. So there's a problem. There's a lot to do. Apart from us breeders, we need agronomists, we need physiologists, we need ecologists, and so on. So we still need your help. Did I satisfy you? Yeah. That's okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, more discussion, right? What kind of plant density are appropriate in your part of the world?
Our density
is about 53,333. So about 50,000 plants per hectare that we use. That is the recommended plant density for West Africa. That's what we use. Spacing 0.75 row And about 0.25 if you are planting single hill, single plant per hill, or 0.5 if you plant two seeds. And usually we plant more and then we thin at about 2 weeks to make sure we get as close to perfect stand as possible. Those are not part of this problem, I'm sure. We plant the good seed, good emergence. There's no question about it, but there's still something wrong that we're not getting the yield that we need to get. It's even more than that. Yeah, 66. Yeah, right. For the early and the extra early, we go 66,000 plants to the hectare. Yes.
And recent studies have shown that we can even go higher.
Right. The recommended Celsius still remains at 60, but we are having more studies now that's suggesting we can go up to 80 plants per hectare. 80,000 plants per hectare. Yes, sir. Barrenness, not much. I don't remember now, it's not here now, but then usually we look at plants, I mean, ears per plant. Yeah, usually we get close to one ear per plant.
But there was a positive correlation between ears per plant and yield.
The correlation is ear number per unit land area. Rather than per plant, in this case. So that depends on the stand and so on. Usually the stand gets close to being perfect at harvest time. Fertilizer, if you go beyond 60 kilograms N per hectare in the forest zone, you are wasting your fertilizer. But even with that, we still put more to be sure that it is not as serious, not enough. We put phosphorus, we put potassium. We use herbicide for weed control and so on. So there's still something that we don't know yet. We'll get there. If we don't, if our generation doesn't, the next generation will get there. May I make a remark? This is one of the things that disappoints me about CSSA. Every year I come to present papers, I have very few people attending. It costs me a lot of money to come here, money that I make from my own pocket. I'm not sponsored. And then people don't attend. What is the point? Every time we pay membership, we pay registration, we struggle to come so that we can interact, you give us knowledge, give us ideas, and people don't come. Why? It is very disappointing. Thank you.